Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanihim Began Eden. Amen.
Membet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Jerry Harari and family in memory of Yosef Ben Simcha. Ruach Hashem Tanihim Began Eden. Amen.
Amen.
Today's daf is being studied. Deilu Nishmat. Rabbi Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Ne'eru Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen.
Amen.
We are starting on Mem Bet Amud Rishon at the Tanur Banan, right at the two dots. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines down. Tanur Banan. Noten Adam Hamin Letoka Sonen. The writer says a person is allowed to pour hot water into cold water. Velo has sonen letoka hamin. But not cold into hot. Devre bet shamay. Ubetelel omrim ben hamin letoka sonen. Uben sonen. Whether you pour hot into cold or cold into hot, it is permissible. Let's understand this machloket. The first opinion is Bet Shammai. What is the logic? Why he allows you to take hamin? Now we're talking about hamin that's in the Kli Rishon, which means it's yad soledet bo, it's hot. He allows you to pour it into cold water. Now, why don't we say that by pouring the hot water in the cold water, so you're going to cook the cold water. So the chaurat should be asur. Why does Bet Shammai allow that? So Rashi tells us, Hamin letoch sonen, dekasabar tata'a gabar. Very important rule that Rashi introduces here. Literally, tata'a means the bottom, gabar means overpowers. So the rule here is whatever's on the bottom overpowers, being that the tsonen, the cold is on the bottom, so it will warm the hot, and the hot will not heat it, and therefore is permissible. Ve'en ha-hamim martichin et ha-sonen ela mafshirin. Rashi says that the hamin is not going to heat up the tsonen, the cold, it'll just warm it up. Which is okay on Shabbat. Because of that, the opposite is also true. You cannot put sonen into hamin. Meaning, let's say you have hamin. Let's take a simple case of a Kli Rishon, hamin. It's off the fire, but it's yad soledet po. And you want to put cold into it. Bet Shammai says forbidden. Same logic. Tata agabar. The bottom overpowers. Rashi says, Shatachtonim martichin et ha'alyonim. The tata gebar. So that's the way that she's learning the sugya. Bet Shammai is very clear. Bet Hillel, on the other hand, allows both ways. He allows hot into cold or cold into hot. Now the Gemara explains Bet Hillel a little further. Gemara says, Beme devarim amurim bekos. When did Bet Hillel say his deen? That it makes no difference, hot into cold or cold into hot, that's in a kos, a cup. Now, it's implicit that a cup is a kli sheni, which means the pot that you cook in where the water is in, that's the kli rishon. You don't drink from there, you pour it into a cup. That's called a kos. A kos would be a kli sheni. Now, we know a rule, as we've learned, kli sheni eno mevashel. A kli sheni does not have the ability to cook. So therefore, even, let's say you're having your kli sheni hot, and you're pouring cold into the kos, which the hot is on the bottom, doesn't matter. Since kli sheni does not have the ability to cook, so even if the hot is on the bottom, Bet Hillel tells you, there is no difference. It is permissible. Furthermore, as she tells us, another sevara why it should be permissible. In a cup, a person uses it to drink. He doesn't want it to be hot. I mean, his intent is he wants to have it warm so it's drinkable. So therefore, it doesn't even look like you're trying to cook something over here. Because when it's hot on the bottom, it's not drinkable, it's too hot. By putting the cold water, it's clear that you want to warm it and not cook the cold water that's going in. Let's read Rashi. He tells us both those sevarot. Rashi says, because delishtiya kabay lehu. Right, he wants it for drinking. Right, he clearly doesn't want it to get hot. And furthermore, it's a klisheni. So the klisheni really doesn't have the ability to cook, which means maybe you might have said, even though it's a klisheni, maybe we should make a gezerah, because it looks like you're cooking, but since here it's evident that you're really not cooking, it's a glass, you want to drink from it, so therefore there's no reason to make a gezerah. Aval, back to the Gemara, be'ambati, and in ambati, that would be the beth, that's a tub of kli rishon waters. And the difference between a kos and an ambati is, kos is a small little cup that you drink from. An ambati is a, it's a bath, it's a pool of hot water where you bathe in. So the Gemara says, be'ambati hamin letoch hatzonen. Again, hamin letoch tzonen, if let's say the ambati was cold, so again, you could put hot into the cold ambati, because the rule is tata agabar, and therefore the bottom overpowers. Ve'lot sonen letoch hamin, but you're not going to be allowed to put cold into hot, because again, the ambati is a kli rishon, tata agabar, by putting the cold into the hot, you're going to cook it. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya oser. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya forbids. Now, at this point we assume that Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, when he says asur, it's a little vague. What is asur? So at this point the assumption is on what we just discussed, which means Bet Hillel was lenient. If the ambati was cold, you're allowed to pour hot water into it. That was a leniency of Bet Hillel. And it makes sense, based on the rule of Tata Gabar. It is on that Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya comes along and says, even that is Asur. And the Gemara is going to analyze further Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya's opinion. Let's review the three Shitot that we have. We have a Bet Shammai, we have Bet Hillel, and we have Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. The opinion of Bet Shammai is, again, it's straight Tata Agabar, in that you're able to pour hot water into cold, hot water of a kli rishon into cold. However, you cannot pour cold water into hot. Now, obviously, if the hot is a kli rishon, but comes the Tosafot over here and adds even another stringency in Bet Shammai. Let's read that Tosafot. Noten Adam Hamin Letoch Sonen. Afilu Bekli Rishon, or Mikli Rishon it should say, Nehamin Letoch Sonen Eno Mevashel, Kemo Shefaresh. Velot Sonen Letoch Hamin Afilu Bekli Sheni. So Bet Shammai is very strict here. At least according to the Tosafot. That he doesn't allow to pour cold water even into hot water of the kli sheni. Why? He says, "De gazri bet shamai kli sheni atu kli rishon." Bet Shammai makes such a gezerah. Even though you're right, it doesn't cook a kli sheni. So according to him, you cannot pour cold water, not into a kli rishon, and for that matter, not into a kli sheni. Thank you. Ubet Hillel de paligi vesharut sonen netoch hamin, and that which Bet Shammai said, sonen netoch hamin, is permissible, right? And he said bekli, haynu davka bekli sheni, haynu kediktani b'med devarim amurim bekos, because that's what Bet Shammai Bet Hillel said his din. It's talking about a kos. mashma de bichli dishon modu betilil. Okay, so the way Tosafot sets up the machloket is that Bet Shammai is very mahmir when it's cold in tahat. Cold in tahat kli rishon vaday asur. Cold in tahat kli sheni asur as well because of a gezerah. Where Bet Hillel argues on Bet Shammai is in the kli sheni case. Which means in a kli sheni, Bet Hillel will allow you to pour cold into hot. He doesn't make that gezerah. Like the Gemara said, "Bamid devarim amurim bechli." Right? That's the way he understands. Now, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shakuni Al Baro. It should be pointed out that there is a great machloket here between Rashi and Tosafot in explaining the rationale for these halachot. We explained according to Rashi, it's working with Tata Agabar. Now, if you work with Tata Agabar, it really doesn't matter how much is on the bottom. It doesn't work with proportions or ratios, more or less, whatever's on the bottom. Even if you have a little cold on the bottom, and you're pouring a lot of hot on top, since the bottom is cold, finished. Even though, let's say, the majority you're pouring is hot. Doesn't matter. The bottom will overpower. That's if you use the Sevara of Tata Agabar. Tosafot, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, does not want to use the Sevara of Tata Agabar because of different questions that he has. He doesn't want to commit to that Sevara in this Gemara. So he works with quantities, which means only when the tzonen on the bottom is a little, then it's forbidden to pour hot water on top because the hot water will get cooked, which means will cook, right? Because the cold water is a little. And the opposite is also true. When you have hot water on the bottom, so if you have a little hot water, according to Tosafot, on the bottom, and you pour a lot of cold water, that's not going to be a problem. Only when you have a lot of hot water. So Tosafot works with quantities. It's a very important machloket to remember. Whereas Rashiel, Tata Agabar, it doesn't matter. Whatever's on the bottom, that overpowers the next case. Now let's read that inside in the Tosafot, just to see it. It's in the Tosafot. Right. First white line in the Tosafot, Ela nir'e kemo she'omer Rabbeinu Tam, dehamin letoch sonen, mashma she'atzonenim shel mata merubim. Tosafot says the sonen on the bottom is merubim. She'derech litena mu'at bimruba. And normally, you add a little into the plenty. Ve'lachen en bevashlin ha'hamin ha'mu'atim klal, therefore it doesn't cook. Because it just mixes in. Now, and when it says that you cannot put cold into hot, that's talking where the hamin on the bottom is plentiful, is majority, and therefore when you're going to put the little cold on top, so that's the way Tosafot understands. It's an inyan of amount. Now, comes the Gemara and goes further and says, Amar of Nachman, Nachman comes along and says, Halakha Kerabi Shimon ben Menasyah. Halakha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Now we'll see what that means. Because we're not sure even what he said, but whatever it is, the halakha is like him. Savar of Yosef lememar. At this point, Rabbi Yosef thought to say, Sefer harehu keambati. Now, what is a sefer? A sefer will call it a wash basin. Right? It's not a cup. You don't drink from a sefer. It's really used for bathing. But it's not an ambati either, because you don't bathe in the sefer. So therefore, a sefer can technically go either way. It is a klisheni, which means you take from the ambati, which is a kli rishon, and put it in a sefer. So therefore, if you want to consider it like a klisheni, so therefore you'd be allowed to pour cold water into it, just like you're allowed to pour, according to Beit Hillel, cold water into a cup for the same two reasons. First of all, it's a klisheni, and second of all, that would be that reason. The reason to say that a sefer is like an ambati is because it's not used for drinking, it's used for bathing. And we know for bathing you want it to be hot. So therefore, could be by pouring the cold water into the ambati, to the sefer, since you want to maintain the heat, so maybe the rabbis were or said sefer. So the first opinion is Rabbi Yosef. He says sefer arehu ke ambati. And therefore, just like you cannot put cold water into the ambati, so too you would not be allowed to pour cold water into the sefer, even though it's a klisheni, it would be asur. Amar le'abaye, tani Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Braita of Rabbi Chiya, sefer eno ke'ambati. He says, finish, we have a braita. Obviously the braita wins. The braita clearly says a sefer is not like an ambati. Oh, so what is a sefer like? Of course. So it comes out in conclusion, ambati would be forbidden to pour hot, cold into the ambati. That's obvious because that she will say tata agabar. However, a kos, even if it's hot in the kos, permissible, because it's again a klisheni. And for that matter, even a sefer, which is not used for drinking, still we're going to consider it like a kli, and therefore mutar. So the only case really where you can't pour in is into the ambati. But kos mutar, and sefer mutar. Now, it should be pointed out, again, at this point, when we said ambati, we always understood it, the way we understand Rashi, ambati is a kli rishon. Betosafot, aval be'ambati. Nir'eh, dehai ambati ayri kegon shu kli sheni. Tosafot over here has a very stringent opinion here. He says an ambati that the rabbis are forbidding, like Beit Hillel is not allowing you to pour cold water into an ambati, whereas Rashi understands it's a regular kli rishon. Tosfot says no, even if it's a kli sheni, this ambati. Why? Since it's so big and it looks very hot, you know, when you have quantities of hot water, it looks hotter. Mm-hmm. Looks hot. And therefore, Tosafot says that an ambati, even kli sheni, it's forbidden. Yeah, of course it's okay. Of course it's small, that's okay. And even if you want to say a sefer is like a course, fine. But ambati kli sheni would be forbidden. So therefore, Tosafot introduced over here to us three major hidushim on the sugya. The first hidush is that he said, according to Beit Shammai, that not only can't you pour cold into a kli rishon cup, but you can't pour it also into you. Not only pour it right, sonen letochami, not only in a kli rishon, but sonen also into a kli sheni, because he makes a gezera. That's the first hidush. Number two, he told us the hidush of Rabbeinu Tam, it's quantities over here. And number three is telling us that the ambati that we're talking about here, that we're saying is asud, even according to Beit Hillel, that's even if the ambati is a klisheni. Again, that's Tosfot Hadush. Rashi doesn't say that. From Rashi we understand simply, it's a regular ambati klisheni, and that's why it's forbidden, tata'a gabar, klisheni is permissible, That would be a keli. That would be as well a sefer. Now the Gemara goes one step further. Gemara says, "Ulmai desalik adata mi'ikara," and that which you thought originally, which means the original first thought, desefel harehu ke'ambati.
Right.
Our first thought in the name of Rabbi Yosef was that a sefel isn't like is like an ambati, and therefore, just like an ambati, you would not be allowed to pour cold water into it. So too, in a sefer, you wouldn't be allowed to pour cold water into it. So the ve'amar of Nachman halacha can be Shimon ben Benasya, and we also know that Rav Nachman said halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Benasya. And how are we understanding Rabbi Shimon ben Benasya at this point? We're understanding him that he was saying that which Bet Hillel was lenient, if the ambati was cold, you're allowed to put hot water into it. And to that, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh said, no, when it comes to ambati, both sides are asud, which means, if the ambati is hot, agree, you cannot pour cold water into it. Or if the ambati is cold, I'm arguing better then, you will not be allowed to pour hot into it, which means Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh also said ambati both ways. So now comes the Gemara and says, Ela b'Shabbat rechitza b'chamin leka. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, you could never have a scenario where you can bathe on Shabbat. Why? Because we know from previous Gemariot, there is a scenario where you can bathe on Shabbat. If the water was heated from before Shabbat, you're allowed to wash panav yadav v'raglav. Now let's understand realistically, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, how this could have happened. Well, how do you heat water me'erev Shabbat? You have your kira. Before Shabbat you went, you put a pot, and you boiled water in that pot, and it's on the kira. Now Shabbat comes, hamin shuhamu me'erev Shabbat. Now you want to use this water to wash your face. Now, obviously, you cannot use it as it is because it's boiling hot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the way they would do it is they would add some cold water. Well, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Benasya, you're really not allowed to add not cold into hot. That's obvious. You cannot add cold into hot. But according to him, you cannot add hot into cold either. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya was osed both ways. So it comes out that really, practically speaking, there is no way, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, really to wash. Let's see Rashi. Ela b'Shabbat. Again, we have to keep in mind, this is also going with the principle that we said, that a sefel is like an ambati, which means the sefel, which is the kli sheni, when you take that water off the fire, you're going to pour it into the wash basin, right? Mm. And it's still, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says, certainly you can't add cold water into there, nor can you add pour from there into cold water. It's like an ambati, and he's osed both ways in an ambati. So technically, there's no way really to cool this off. So you're not going to have a realistic way to bathe according to Mishmar Benasya. Rashi, Ela b'Shabbat rechitza b'chamin leka b'tmiha de'al Rabbi Shimon afilu chamin de'toch sonen asur. Right? When he said the Bishamon ben Asya Osir, that means even hot into cold is going to be Asur. Lo maskahat hamin shuhamu vafilu me'erev Shabbat shelo yusrikim nafig netihatan. Obviously you're going to have to cool the waters off somehow. Vimken lo yirhatz afilu panav yadav raglav b'hamin. You won't even have a case, because how are you going to heat up those waters? To pour cold water into it, that's for sure not. You're going to pour it into a sefel, And what? Now you want to pour from the sefer into cold water. The Bishop of Menasya says, Asur. So therefore, how are you going to have a... Because you say sefer is like an ambati. So how are you going to have a case? So the Gemara says, Mi savart the Bishop on a sefer? You think that when the Bishop of Menasya said, Asur, he was going on the ambati case? No, he wasn't talking about that case. He was reacting to the first statement of Beit Hillel. Mm-hmm. What was the first statement? Beit Hillel matirin ben hamin letok sonen uben sonen letok hamin. Which means, Beit Hillel's original statement was, in a keli, right? In a kli sheni, in a drinking, in a course, Beit Hillel allowed cold into hot, and hot into cold. He allowed both ways. It was on that that Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya said that I don't allow you to put sonen netok hamin in a kos. Okay? Which really is like Bet Shammai. So the Gemara comes along, because what did Bet Shammai say? Bet Shammai said the same thing. Sonen netok hamin in a kos is asur. So to that, the Gemara says, "Lema Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya damar kebet Shammai." Well, are we going to say now that Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is going according to Bet Shammai? He says, "No, Hachi Ka'amar." This is what he means to say: "Lo nihveku Bet Shammai ubetirer bedavar ze." Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is redefining the machloket. He's coming along and saying, "No, you think Bet Hillel was lenient on this?" In a course, to allow you to pour cold water into a course? No. Everybody holds in a course, you're not allowed to pour cold into hot. Jeez, he wasn't coming along to take Bet Shammai's side. He was coming along to say, no, everybody's all said this over here. So he redefines the machloket. So at this point, let's conclude our facts. Let's conclude the givens, the obvious, the things that we can conclude from this Braita. In an ambati, let's start with that. It's clear you cannot pour cold water into an ambati. Mm-hmm. According to everybody. That's already a kli rishon. You have isur over there, tata agabar, according to Rashi, that's going to be asur. Want to even go further, according to Tosafot, even if the Ambati is a cliché, that's also forbidden. Okay? Good. Next, let's discuss a sefer. Well, the conclusion of the Gemara, we have a braita from the Bhiya that says, sefer is not like an Ambati. So sefer has a deen of a kos. Good. Let's discuss the case of a course, and whatever we're going to say by course will apply by sefer. What's the deen by course? According to Beit Hillel, well, obviously the halakha should follow, Beit Hillel will tell you, in a course, well, you can go both ways. It's klisheni. You can pour cold into hot, hot into cold, you have no problem. To that, according to one version, the Gemara is going to tell you that the Bishamom and Menasya is going to say, no, no. Beit Hillel never was matir that. Beit Hillel, when it came to kos, also is osir, whether it's hamin letok sonen or sonen letok hamin. There the mahloket was not on that. So that's the way the Bishamom and Menasya will understand Beit Hillel and Bet Shammai, regarding a that's what we by the course. Now again, that's the Mishnah of Menasya, but according to the Machloket as we have it, that is the Machloket, which means Bet Shammai will say what? In a course only Hamin Letoch Sonen, but not Sonen Letoch Hamin, whereas Bet Hillel will come along and say both sides are permissible. Okay. We're learning it as the machloket, not like the Mishmur Menashe. That is the machloket. Once you say that sefer is like a course, so the same thing would be by a sefer, which means it would be permissible to go either way, to pour into the sefer, hot into cold into hot, or hot into cold, either way. So those are the levels you have. Actually, one, two, you have three cases. You have the kli, you have the sefer, and you have the ambati. That's the breakdown. I'll review again. In the kli, we'll start from the kli again. This way, I'll go the other way this time. In the kli, which is a kli sheni, you have a machloket bet shamay and bet hillel, whereas bet shamay tells you you can only go hot into cold, but you can't go cold into hot. He uses the tata'a gabar rule, even by a kli sheni, whereas bet hillel comes along and says no. When it comes to kli sheni, you can go either way. That would be a kli. Sefer follows the same rules. Ambati, that's where Bet Hillel makes the Hiluk, and everybody will agree, which means you cannot pour cold into hot into the Ambati, because it cooks it, obviously. You want to say Bet Hillel, according to Tosavot, even a cliché of an Ambati, because it's so big, so put that in parentheses, so to speak, and that would be forbidden. Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe wants to come along and say, listen, I don't learn the machloka like you just said it. I hold that in the cliche ni, even in a course, Bet Hillel is osir both ways. He's not mekel, which means he's not mekel in a, he's osir, he was matir both ways, Bet Hillel, in a course. He lets you go either way. He says, no, he will not allow you to go from cold into hot. Right, hot to cold permissible, but cold into hot, Rabbi Shimon ben Menashe. In that case, they...
That's what he said.
Yes, that's what he said. That is no mahlok. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the Braita. Comes the Gemaran continues. Amar Avuna, Bered Rabbi Yehoshua. Hazin alel Rava. He says, I saw Rava. De lo kapid amana, that he was not makpid amana. Well, what does mana mean? Mana literally means a course, a keli. Keli means a klisheni, which means he wasn't careful following the ruling of Bet Hillel, that allows you on a kli sheni to go either way, hot into cold, or cold into hot. Right? Better than. Meditani Rabbi Chiya, from the fact that we have a braita in the name of Rabbi Chiya that says, Noten Adam Kiton Shelmayim Letoch Sefer Shelmayim Ben Hamin Letoch Sonen Uben Sonen Letoch Hamin. So you see clearly, we have a braita that says, a person is allowed to put water, noten is the place, water, kiton shelmayim, would be, let's say, a jug of water, letok sefer shelmayim, into a bucket of water, a sefer, okay, so now already even a sefer we see, that what? Ben hamin letok sonen, ben sonen letok hamin, either way. So now already we see even further, that when it says in the Gemara, that Rabba was not kapid, Amana means even mana of a sefer, we see he treated it like a kli. So what happens? The Gemara says, Amar le Ravuna, le Rav Asher, Dilma shani atam demifsak kli. Which means, it doesn't say that he poured, let's say, the cold water into the hot water. It says noten, which means maybe he took cold water that was in a vessel and just dropped it in. So therefore, maybe it's mutar because the vessel is interfering. So therefore, it's no. You actually have a, okay, you have a picture of that in 344 in your Perush Chayes, right? All you see what he did was, because it says noten. So you're trying to bring me a proof that, oh, he told you that a sefer is okay. And the fact that he said he poured the cold into the hot, no, maybe he just placed the cold into the hot. In that case, it's okay because the candy is not sick. Amar le me'are itbar. We have another statement that clearly says that he didn't put it. He actually poured it. Like it says, me'are adam kiton shelmayim, detok sefes shelmayim, ben hamin detok sonen, ben sonen detok hamin. So it was clear. He actually poured hot into cold and cold into hot. Cliche, not like the Mishmon ben Menashe, like the first way we learned the Machloket, which means Betereel's Matir both ways in a Kli, and Sefil is like a Kli, and therefore it goes both ways. Comes the Mishnah. Now we do have pictures for this upcoming Mishnah, which is good. Okay, just to get the images of these different kelim over here. Let's start the new Mishnah. Ha'ilfas ve'ha'kedera she'aviran mirotchim. What is an ilfas and what is a kedera? So if you look at your pirush ha'iz, ilfas looks like a frying pan. Right? Frying pan you use on the fire. So that's another way of saying a kli rishon. Kedera also looks like a pot, also that's used on the fire. Mm-hmm. So basically, what you have to know about an ilfas and a kedera is they are pots that are used on the fire itself, which would be called a keli rishon. So the Mishnah says now, ha'ilfas ba'kedera she'aviran mirotchim. You took it off. Now it's still hot. Lo yiten letochan tevalim. So you're not allowed on Shabbat to place spices into this kli rishon. Now we're talking about spices that are raw. Because what's going to happen? The kli rishon is going to have the ability to cook it. Which means, Rabbi Chadusha, a kli rishon, even if it's off the fire, so long as it's still hot, has the ability to cook. And what's that heat? Yad soledet po. So comes the Gemara and says, Aval noten hu letoch hakeara o letoch hatamchui. These are two different type of vessels. Let's see what these vessels are. We have our perush hai. Tamchui would be it's a type of pot, a smaller pot, where they would serve, which means they would pour from the kedera into a tamchui. Yeah, it's like a serving dish. And from the tamchui, they would actually pour into a smaller ke'ara. So basically, tamchui and ke'ara are kli shenis. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to know. Now, we know the rule. A kli sheni does not have the ability to cook. Kli sheni eno mevashel. So the Mishnah says, אבל נותן הוא לתוך הקערה או לתוך התמחוי, which means you can place spices into the klisheni food, even though the spices are raw, because it does not have the ability to cook. Okay? Now, at this point, you may analyze, we told you a kli rishon definitely cooks. We told you a kli sheni definitely does not cook. But what about what's called irui kli rishon? Pouring from a kli rishon. Let's say you have spices in a pot. Just spices, raw spices. Can you pour from a kli rishon on it? Well, you told me you can't put it in a kli rishon. And you can put it in a kli sheni. We're asking something in between, pouring from a kli rishon. So, really from this Mishnah, you really can't bring proofs because you have proofs both ways. Because I can tell you like this. The first part of the Mishnah told me what? I can't put it in the kli rishon. Implying what? That I could pour from the kli rishon on it. But from the second part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, I can place these spices in a kli sheni. Mashma only placing in a kli sheni, but not allowed to pour from a kli rishon. So actually the implications are contradictory regarding Irui Kli Rishon. Actually, Tosafot and Dibura Matchil Abal Notenhu goes through the whole subject if Irui Kli Rishon has the ability to cook. There's Mahloket Rishonim over here. Some say Irui Kli Rishon has a din of a Kli Rishon and it can cook. Some say Irui Kli Rishon has a din of a Kli Sheni and it can cook. Other opinions say that Irui Kli Rishon can cook, but only the top layer of the food, which we would call a keder kelipa. So there's different opinions, not for our discussion on the Mishnah, but that's where it is discussed in this Tosafot, the subject of Irui Kli Rishon. Our discussion again, we're talking about Kli Rishon can cook the spices, Kli Sheni cannot. So comes the Gemara and says, comes the Mishnah and concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lakol Hu Noten. You could put spices in everything. Chutz medavar sheyesh bo chometz v'sir. Except in a pot that has in it vinegar or brine. They see, those are sharp items. Now, what does he mean? You could put it in any keli. Did you mean any kli rishon? Or does the Yehuda mean any kli sheni? Meaning, what are the two options? If he's telling you you can place it even in a kli rishon, that would be a great leniency, he's telling me. If you learn that he's telling me that you could place it in a kli sheni, then he's coming to tell me a stringency, because he's saying only a kli sheni that doesn't have vinegar or brine in it. But a kli sheni that has these sharp items in conjunction with the kli sheni and these sharp items, these spices will get cooked. So that's a stringency on the first opinion. So we really have to see what vessel Rabbi Yehuda was referring to. So that's the Gemara's first question. Ibayelehu. Rabbi Yehuda Aresha Ka'e. Is Rabbi Yehuda going on the Resha, meaning on the Kli Rishon, that he's allowing you to put spices? Ulkula. And he's really being lenient. That he's telling you, so long as the Kli Rishon doesn't have chometz, doesn't have vinegar or brine in it, no problem, put your spices. Or dilma, or maybe asefa ka'e. Or maybe he's going on the sefa, meaning on a kli sheni, ul-humra. And he's telling you that there's a case where even in a kli sheni, you can't put spices. Tashema, detanya Rabbi Yehuda omer, lakol ilfasin, hu noten, lechol akederot rothot, hu noten, chutz medavar sheyesh bo chometz v'sir. Clear statement. Ilfas and a kidera, we learned, are the kli rishon vessels. And clearly the Biuda is telling you, you can place spices, tevalin, in a kli rishon. Off the fire, of course. The Biuda is not going to allow you to pour when it's on the fire. Tosfot speaks it out clearly. It's only off the fire. And only assuming that there is no chometz or seer in it. Now, Tosafot also points out that the only issue over here is by spices. Rabbi Yehuda will agree, other foods get cooked in a Kli Rishon. Mm-hmm. It seems spices are, don't get cooked that fast. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is lenient by Tevalin, but he'll agree, let's say, to other types of foods, that you cannot stick it in a Kli Rishon because it has the ability to cook. So you shouldn't think that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with the law that Kli Rishon is Mevashel. Of course he agrees. The discussion is limited to Tevalin. Comes the Gemara further and says, Samad of Yosef Lememar. Once we're on the subject of spices, Rabbi Yosef now wanted to discuss the status of salt. Okay? Melach. Harehu ketebalin. Melach is part of the spice family. It's a tebalin. And therefore, the bichli rishon bashela, which means kli rishon gets cooked, ubichli shiri lo bishla. Like the rule of our Mishnah, Melach follows the rule. Kli Rishon, yeah. Kli Sheni, no. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye came along and asked on Rabbi Yosef and said, Tani Rabbi Chiya. We have a bright of Rabbi Chiya that says, Melach ena ketebalin. Melach is not like a tebalin. And that what? De bichli sheni nami bishla. Which means the bright over here is telling you salt can even get cooked in a kli sheni. It's like a sensitive item. So not only a kli shon, but even a kli sheni. That's the braita. Ufliga de Rav Nachman. This braita is arguing on a statement of Rav Nachman that said, Tamar Rav Nachman, siricha milha bishula ki bisra de tura. Rav Nachman comes along and says the exact opposite. He says, salt is like meat of an ox. Ox meat can only get cooked in a kli rishon that's on the fire.
Wow.
So he wants to say that salt is such a difficult item to cook that forget about kli sheni. Forget about even kli rishon off the fire. The only way it can get cooked is like basar shor. Which is what? Kli rishon on the fire. So clearly, Rav Nachman is in contempt of this bright over here that we quote in the name of Rabbi Chiya. Because Rabbi Chiya went the other way and said that salt gets cooked even in a kli sheni. Whereas Rav Nachman says it doesn't even get cooked in a kli rishon. That's one version of the Gemara. So again, this version has Rav Nachman at odds with the Braita. I'm making a point that goes right away, this is going to be difficult to posek like this version, because you have Rav Nachman arguing on a Braita, so it's hard to take Rav Nachman's opinion when there's a Braita against him. But let's see if the second version is a little better. V'ika de'amre, Savar Rav Yosef le'memar. Rav Yosef thought to say, Melach areu ketebalim. Originally, Rabbi Yosef thought to say that melach was like spices. That what? The bechli rishon bashla, ubechli sheni lo bishla. That was Rabbi Yosef's first thought to say that it's like spices, and therefore kli rishon, yes, it cooked. Kli sheni, no. Amar le'abaye. So Abaye came along and said, no. Tini rebchiya, melach ena ketebalim, the bechli rishon name lo bishla. Oh, so according to this version, the braita says what? That melach is a difficult item and it doesn't get cooked even in a kli rishon. V'hainu d'amar Rav Nachman. And that's exactly like Rav Nachman. Because what does Rav Nachman say regarding salt? Siricha milcha bishula ke bishla de Torah. That salt needs to cook like bishla de Torah, like a basra de Torah, like a ox meat. So therefore, the second version has Rav Nachman agreeing with the braita. And that's why the Tosafot says we posek like the second version. Even though normally there's different rules. You follow the first version usually. There's different klalim in when you have two, you know, you have an ikad amri. But Tosafot says over here, all rules are off. Because the first version over here has Rav Nachman arguing on a braita. According to the second version, you have shalom. So therefore it comes out in the halakha, Tosafot says, salt is one of those items that even if you would pour it in a kli rishon off the fire when it's still yad soledet bo, it's not considered bishul. Only when you're pouring salt on the fire itself comes the Mishnah. From this point on to the end of the perek, the discussion shifts from the laws of bishul and now discusses the laws of mukseh. Comes the Gemara Mishnah and says, "En notnin kli tachat taner lekabel bo et hashemen." Let's discuss terminology. A ner is the receptacle that they place the oil and the wick. The receptacle is called a ner. Now, the question is: on Shabbat, let's say you have this ner already lit. You lit it from before Shabbat. Now it's Shabbat. Sometimes the oil drips out. So the guy wants to put a keli, you know, next to it to catch the oil that's dripping. So the question is, can he do that on Shabbat or not? Well, the Mishnah says clearly he can't. Reason being, the oil is mukseh. Why is the oil mukseh? Well, different reasons. Number one, the oil is mukseh is because once you light it, obviously it's out of your mind to take this oil, because you cannot take the oil, because if you're going to take the oil, you're going to extinguish. So therefore this would be called mukseh mahmat isur. That's one reason why it's considered mukseh. Some will call it mukseh mahmat mitzvah, because once you designate it for the ner, that's it. You know, your mind is offered for using it for personal. Others will explain, as we'll see later on, because it becomes a base to mukseh, because the wick is lying on the flame is lying on the oil, so it's a basis. For our purposes now, you just have to know that the oil is mukseh. Okay, so what? So the oil is mukseh. I'm not touching the oil. I just want to take a keli, a non-mukseh keli, and stick it next to it, so the oil will drip in it. Well, I didn't come in contact with mukseh. What could be the issue over here? So that she comes and tells you, very important rule. Let's read Rashi. En notin b'shabbat kli tachat haner lekabel bo shemen hametaftef, to catch the dripping oil, mishum de shemen muksehu. Fact. Vekasabar en kli nital b'shabbat ela letzorek dabar nital. First rule. This opinion is holding that while the keli is not mukseh, that you're putting underneath the oil, it's not mukseh, it's a non-mukseh, but you're not allowed to move a keli to serve mukseh. The whole reason why you're picking up this keli is what? So it can catch the mukseh. You're not allowed to pick up a keli only if you're going to use it for heter. Wow. But to pick up a keli to use it for the mukseh item, it's asur. En kli nital, ela letzorech davar hanital. Which means if I wanted to pick up this keli and go inside and put grapes in it, mutar. But since I'm picking up this keli to catch the oil, which is mukseh, you cannot pick up the keli for that. So the keli itself is off limits for you to even move it for that purpose. Iname, alternate interpretation, kasabar, asur lebatel kli mehechano. Another rule. What's going to happen now if I put this keli there on Shabbat? The oil is going to fall into that keli. What happens to that keli now? Can I move that keli now? No, that keli now becomes mukseh itself, because it has mukseh in it. So what I did was, I took a non-mukseh keli, and I did something that now took it out of its prepared state of non-mukseh, and I turned it into mukseh. You can't do that on Shabbat. Why not? So that she says a very interesting sevara. That she says, because once I put the keli there, I can't move it, right? So it's as if, listen to the sevara, it's as if I went and bolted it in the ground at that spot. It's like boneh. It's like you built it over there. You put it over there now, you can't move it. Now, of course, it's theoretical. You didn't put nails, you didn't do anything, but it's dome. It's similar to boneh, where you're putting something there that now becomes stationary. Later on in the Masechet, Rashi tells you a different sevara. He tells you it's not boneh, it's soter. Why? You ruined the keli. Which means the keli before you put it there had functionality. Now you put it there, the oil fell into it, you broke it now. Now you can't use it. So it's either one of those two sevarot. Either you consider it like your boneh or soter. Of course, it's not the av melacha boneh soter. It's domeh to that. So let's go back to our case. Our case over here is you can't take the keli and put it under the oil. Either why, because en kli nital ela letzorech davar hanital, or because mevatel kli mehechano. Continue the Mishnah. Ve'im natnua mebe'od yom. But if you placed it from Friday, mutar. Mm-hmm. What do you mean mutar? What's mutar? Hard to understand it. What do you mean mutar? If I placed it Ma'arib Shabbat, I placed it. What's mutar over here? I did it already. So that she says, mutar lani hashab, which means you can keep it there. What is that she's seemingly saying? That she's telling you, because you might have thought, we don't even want you to put this item there before Shabbat. You know why? Because maybe you'll say, we're worried on Shabbat, you might come to take it. Comes the Mishnah and says, you know what? If you put it there before Shabbat, you can leave it there. And we don't make a gezerah that you might come to take it. Therefore, she says, mutar lani hasham. Which means you don't have to go right before Shabbat and say, oh, take away the kirimah so you don't catch the oil. Erev Shabbat, mutar lani hasham. Leave it there. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the Tosafot, in Dibura Matchev, v'im natnua mebe'od yom, he says, halashon dahuk. Da'avi lele memar avam mebe'od yom notnim. You know, Tosfot holds that the language is a little dark because it says, if you put it there. Tosfot says, if you put it there. It says, you know, im natnua mebe'ojom. It says, if it's like it's a bidi'avat. Tosfot says, what do you mean? You put it there even, lekatahila, which means what should be the browser. Tosfot says, really, lekatahila would be permissible to put it there. According to Rashi, we understand it a little better. We can say, really, could be they didn't want you to put it there. But all the Mishnah say, if you put it there, alright, you could leave it there. So the Koite Rashi, we understand the Lashon of the Mishnah. Really, don't put it there either because you might come to move it on Shabbat. Leave it there, it's fine. Last part of the Mishnah. Now, you're not allowed to benefit from that oil. Which means that oil is off limits. It is mukseh. Mm-hmm. Okay? That she says, ve'en ne'utin nehenim. The Gemara will explain exactly this last part of the Mishnah to be neheneh from the oil. Mm-hmm. Comes the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda taught, afal pi she'amru, even though we said, En notnin kli tahat tanegodet tekabel betzata. Similar case of our Mishnah. We know that an egg that's hatched or laid on Shabbat is mukseh. That's called nolad. That's a form of mukseh. So the question would be, I want to catch the egg. Can I stick a keli on Shabbat under the chicken in order to catch the egg? Well, we just learned from our Mishnah, very similar case. Just like you can't stick under the net to catch the oil, so I shouldn't be allowed to stick it under the chicken to catch the egg. So it says, Amar Rav Chisda Papi Shamru En Notin Kli Tata Negol Lekabel Betzata Aval Kofeh Alei Keli Shelo Teshaber. But I'm allowed to take a keli, turn it upside down, and place it over the egg once it's hatched, in order that it doesn't crack, doesn't break. Now let's catch up in Rashi here. Afa pi shamru en notnin kli tata negol lekabel betzata kishehi matilata bimkom midron. We're talking about over here where the chicken is sitting by an incline. So therefore, when she gives birth to the egg, what's going to happen? It's going to slide down. So I would want to put a keli over there to catch it so it doesn't slide down. So there's a shemit that gadgel v'tishaber. Now, where do you know this from? That she says, umidiyukad matnitin shemainande. We know this egg case from actually our Mishnah. Dedami l'roten kli ta'ata nelekabel bo shemen. Aval, however, kofeh alei keli. Now the chidush is, how could you take a keli and put it over the egg according to the way we understood the Mishnah, en kli nital ela letzorek davar nital. You can only move a keli for something that is non-mukseh. Here you're moving the keli for the egg, that's mukseh. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rava, mai ta'ama de Rav Chisda. What is the logic of Rav Chisda? So he says, kasabar, Rav Chisda holds, Tanegolet asuya latil betzata be'ashpa. It's quite common that chickens lay eggs in the dump, in the ashpa. The ashpa, yeah, where people walk. It's a place where people would walk. And therefore, there's a serious concern that if you leave the egg there, what's going to happen? It's going to get trampled. Now, ve'ena asuya latil betzata b'mkom medron. It's not so common that a chicken gives birth on an incline of a mountain. It's not such a common case. It's more common to say it gives birth, you know, on the flat ground, the ashpa, where people walk. Therefore, the hatsala mitsuya hetidu. Since it's a prevalent common case, the rabbis waive their law of mukseh, meaning of en kli nital letzorek davar nital. They waived it and said, listen, since it's prevalent, it's quite common to happen, we'll allow you to take the candy and what? Cover the egg. But to take a keli and catch the egg when the chicken is on an incline, since that's not such a common case, the rabbis did not waive their law. So now you're learning a hadusha. This din of en kli nital el tzorek davar nital, it depends. If it's prevalent, the rabbis will be lenient. Now, we must go define our Mishnah. Must be that it's not so prevalent for oil to drip out of a ner on Shabbat. Because the rabbis did not let you put a keli there. So Tosafot says, why is it not so prevalent? So Tosafot just speaks out and he says, most people would have set that up already from before Shabbat. Most people, you put a keli there from before Shabbat. Especially according to Tosafot that said that you're allowed to put it there. So therefore that's considered what? You would have taken care of that. Most people don't wait till Shabbat now to take care of that. And furthermore, it's not so substantial, this oil. You know, how much oil is dripping out of the ner that you know you want to save it over there? So it's not so common that guy's going to want to save that little amount of oil. So therefore, they didn't allow you to take a keli and put it under the oil. So basically, we conclude the shiur over here that with Rav Chisda was telling you, from our Mishnah, we could deduce a law by the chickens. Just like you can't put the keli to catch the oil, we're not going to let you put a keli to catch the egg that's coming from a chicken that's by a madron. What do they both have in common? It's hatsala she'ena mitsuya. It's saving something, but it's not prevalent. Rabbis do not waive their mukseh. But if it's in the ashpa, which is a common place for the chickens to lay their eggs, then you can take the candy and cover it. Aye, it's letzorek davar she'eno nital. Yeah, but in hatsala mitsuya, they allowed. Baruch Anu Le'olam.